The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Okay, always a pleasure to chat with my boss's boss?
I don't know.
I'm in the president's office, by the way. Jonathan Becker, kind enough for this chat. Let's talk hockey first. I mean, the Sharks are almost at the halfway point of the regular season. Things are going so well, maybe to some degree ahead of schedule?
I guess it depends on
what your expectations were.
What your schedule was.
Yeah.
I think if we interviewed fans before the season started, my guess is their schedule looked something like big jump in points this year.
Right.
I'm guessing most people said 52 to what, mid-70s, push for the playoffs, make the playoffs next season, and then the season after that, something deeper. If that's the schedule that people have in mind,
right,
you know, we're almost at the halfway point. It feels like 70-plus points is more likely than not, and maybe more than that. So, yes, by that, but that's a fan schedule.
Right.
Mine's a little different, actually.
Right.
And so, from my perspective, I was looking at two things this year.
Yeah.
One is, look at the younger players. Let's call them the 23 and under.
Okay.
Do they take a significant step forward from than they did last year? And, whether that's Smith or Askey or Dickinson, who wasn't here last year,
right,
or not, or, you know, and I'd say yes. I mean, the wild card there is Celebrini.
That
bigger step forward, I think, than anyone expected him to make.
He's in a different league almost, if that's the
fair
example,
enough.
On a different level. He's doing different things than anybody's really seen in a very long time.
So he's ahead of whatever schedule I think you would create for a 19-year-old.
Right.
I think the second measure of success for us, or ahead of schedule, is the seniors, the vets we brought in the offseason.
Right.
Were they going to mesh with the young kids, and would the sum of the parts be more than that? And, you know, I think Orloff, Reeves, Klingberg, especially in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to leave anybody out,
that's
meshed better. The camaraderie and the style of play. Kudos to Mike and the scouts.
Yeah.
That's worked. So, are we on a schedule? Sure. I'd say it differently. Are we happy where we are right now? Yes. Which almost makes us all eager to say, how much further can we push this thing?
You know, Nedeljkovic, Gaudette, Skinner, they're all watching this saying, hey, name me too. That's the great thing, though. We can literally go on and on and on with names here.
We could just name the whole lineup.
Pretty much. Everybody's done something.
Exactly.
You know, on the flip side.
Plus the call-ups.
Let's get to the Barracuda, honestly.
Okay.
That's where I want to go. They're an important part of this Sharks organization, right? Because they are the pipeline, and in recent years now they are helping shape, you know, the next generation of Sharks. They made the playoffs last year.
Exactly.
Big deal. We were all happy about that. I feel like going to some of their practices, talking to their players, that is the bar. That's what's been set this year. But it's very important that they continue to do well. What are you seeing in just their trajectory, their success, and what John McCarthy's doing with them?
Yeah, first thing that's probably worth mentioning is you don't run an AHL team the way you run an NHL team.
Right.
In fact, if there's a parallel, it's more like NCAA. Which is, you kind of have a 2 or 4 year window because your best players are going to get called up.
You
kind of are happy.
You have to poach them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And much like many of the best players in college in lots of sports, they leave early to go to the pros.
Right.
Not that AHL isn't the pros, it is.
Right.
And so you can't build, even, I don't believe in long term plans in sports, but you can't even build that window. And so, yes, I think, can we build on last year? Playoffs were good, right? Now we expect to be at the top of the division. We are. We've been flirting with the top all season. And I think the question is, how much damage can we do in the playoffs? Because what we want is those that are at the CUDA to get an experience that we're not yet ready to have at the Sharks. So when we get there, they're part of that mix already.
I mean, that move, more than 10 years ago to bring them out here to California, to have them be in San Jose, the beautiful building that they play in.
Yeah.
There's so many good parts about having them being where they're at and doing what they're doing, especially lately.
One of my favorite stories, and maybe you've interviewed him, Noah, is ask Logan about his rookie year.
Oh, I was here.
You remember he went back
and forth. He was on the Worcester shuttle.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing tonight? I'm taking the red eye out to Boston.
I think he went up back like 8 times in the span of like 25 days.
Logan Couture, Jamie McGinn, Jason Demers, by the way, those three were on the Worcester shuttle all season long.
Exactly right.
My first season was Logan's first season. Did you know that?
I did not know
I'm not ready to retire yet.
Okay, good.
Hint, hint. You know, it's been some great crowds, and especially, like, we're recording this right before Christmas, but the Thanksgiving holiday, and just some of the wins and games and how November went, and, you know, I stand on that visitor walk-off little platform over there where the players of the other team always skate off at the end, and seeing their dejected faces again brought me back to a lot of, Logan Couture days in 2010s.
Sure.
But with it's like the winning in November and the crowds that were here at the Tank and a couple sellouts in a row, it felt good to get back to that. Was that just winning games that gets people back? I know we work really hard here at marketing too.
We do
all the right things, but man, nothing is good marketing like just winning, you know?
Fair enough. So a couple of numbers and then I'll answer that as well, which is, you know, last year we were in pretty good shape when it came to weekends.
Yeah.
If you remember,
particularly
the second half of the year, those Saturdays started to feel like the Tankable. We're
right
there, but starting there.
Right.
What's the interesting phenomenon is this year, it's not just Saturdays that are starting to feel that. In fact,
The weeknights.
They're not there yet, but they're, in fact, two just sort of numbers for the audience that likes numbers.
One
is the league published a stat that said November of last season versus November of this season, we were up 15% in attendance.
Wow.
And the next highest team was up 6%.
Like 15% is
a significant
deal. It doesn't sound like 45%, but like 15 is a big deal.
That's exactly right. And
wow.
The other thing, which some people may have seen on social media because I put out, is that past Tuesday, that fun game against Calgary. That was the highest attended Tuesday game since the pandemic, other than last year's New Year's Eve game.
Well, you track all that stuff.
That's
your job. I get it. Wow, that's a lot.
So I didn't answer your question.
No.
Clearly, I mean, it would be silly for say if winning doesn't help.
Yeah.
But I think marketing the up-and-coming younger players, and I think the single biggest thing that's been interesting to me is 60% of the people that have come in, this has been the first time they've been in the building since the pandemic. So we treat them as new.
Right.
And a lot of that is because their interest in the players, not just the sport and the team.
Right.
And that's what's changed about marketing sports right now, is you gotta make sure you market the individual and not just the team.
I just love seeing the vibes come back. It reminds me of what used to be and what still could be and will be, and it just takes time to get that back. And for a lot of things, right? Pandemic as well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even if the Sharks were Stanley Cup viable for those years and we couldn't have crowds here, that would have been no fun. It kind of worked out. Get it all done with and get back to the good time. So this building, right, got approved this last summer.
I guess people know we're inside the building.
Well, if we're in the president's office,
this
better
be in the building.
Be in the Tank.
They may not know
the building that we're in, which, by the way, there's no windows in your office.
There are not. The ice is right there, though.
We're below ground level, I think.
Correct.
It's already started some of the upgrades, but it's going through that, 5 or 6 or 7 year overhaul?
Yep.
$400 million approximately, more than that?
Maybe more than
north
that.
North of that?
Yes.
It's all been approved, but the work is going to begin this summer. But there's like this summer and the next few summers. This summer is not the noticeable summer. What's going to happen here this summer?
So you want to scoop?
Let's do it.
Well, they're not listening, right?
Yeah, so nobody's watching. Nobody's watching.
Actually, the work started already, so we're already in summer.
Yeah.
And so the first phase, as we call it, is mostly behind the scenes stuff. The building is more than 30 years old. In fact. The design of the building is now 40 years old, and a lot of the infrastructure parts are that old. So, for example, if you're in the building tonight, you'll notice that one of the elevators is out.
Right.
And you may think, oh, maybe it's broken. No, it's being pulled out.
Okay.
Because the elevator is original to the building. And so we're taking out the guts of the elevator, the cords, everything, and replacing it with a brand new elevator.
Okay.
And for the next 9.5 months, we're going to replace every single elevator in the building. You obviously can't take them all out at the same time.
Right.
So is that summer construction? Well, no, that'll be finished in the summer.
Got it.
All the generators have to be replaced. A lot of the electrical wires have to be replaced.
That's not the fun stuff.
That is not, but that's what happens when you're in a 35-year-old building.
You got to do that first.
That's right.
It matters the most.
You eat in the press dining room, right?
I do.
You saw that was new. That's part of this phase as well.
Right.
You may or may not have noticed there's a lot of construction noise next door. We're putting in a kitchen on the ice level as well to serve some future renovations we might be doing.
I have been in that kitchen.
Have you been in that kitchen?
We did a segment in that kitchen already.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Can't wait to eat out of that kitchen coming up next. So this summer is that type of stuff.
It's mostly behind the scenes.
Then there's an idea that next summer, 2027, is going to be a lot more things that people notice when they come back to games that corresponding fall.
So
what are we talking about there?
Yeah, so context here. So we're not building a new arena.
Right.
it's harder to do that in Silicon Valley. There's not a ton of land, et cetera. Right. But we did want to reimagine the arena that we're in.
Right.
Within the constraints of the $400 million, which sounds like a ton of money, it goes pretty quickly, actually.
Right, I bet.
And so when you reimagine something, you say, well, what are the key problems you're trying to solve? And two that I just want to talk about, which will lead into summer 2027, is we talked about attendance is up. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have more than 14,000 people in the building, the way I know that we do is the concourse. Because the concourse becomes crowded.
Yeah.
And why is the concourse crowded? It's because in a real way, we have one main floor in this building.
Right.
Right? You have the penthouse level, but most people don't go to that top level.
Right. And the club level is just smaller and meant for a smaller crowd.
That's right. But the general availability is only on one level.
Right.
So the one problem we're trying to do is we're not allowed to expand the footprint of the building. That's part of the city deal. So the first thing we want to do is try to get people off the concourse. Where do they go? I'll tell you in just a minute. The second thing is, which I watch you guys on social media, I hear the complaints.
You guys?
Yeah, well, whoever's following you. Not you. Well, maybe it's you with a lot of ghost accounts and stuff like that.
Burners?
Yes, exactly.
Don't even have one.
No? No burner accounts?
Nope, nope.
Okay, fine. And there's some fake Brody Brazils out there, too.
Oh, that's probably.
Is the south entrance, the one near Santa Clara Street, gets busy. In fact, more than 70% of the people come in through that on a game night. So, hint? Try going around to the north entrance. It's a lot less crowded, and you can get in a lot quicker. But 72% of you come in through that
entrance.
Interesting. So we want to solve that problem as well by opening up new portals / doors / entrances. So those are the two big things. So coming to your question.
That's good to know. Okay, yeah.
More than one place for people to gather.
Okay.
And more than one ways to get in the building. There's two ways now, but more than two ways to get in the building.
Right.
So the biggest change we're going to work on for summer of 27 is this level, where we are now.
The bottom event floor.
Yes, yeah. Event level, arena level, ice level, there are different names that are used for that.
Right.
And the biggest way we're gonna make the change is our offices will not be here anymore. So my office, all the other business staff.
This won't exist?
This will not exist. In fact, where you sit on game day won't exist anymore. You don't know that yet. Where my Greer sits will not exist on game day. So the entire arena level is gonna be redone and literally stripped to its bare. With the exception of the press dining room that we just did.
You don't want to tear down something you just built.
That's right.
So you're saying that all this space will be used differently?
That's exactly right. And what we want to do
smaller offices, more locker rooms?
No offices.
No offices.
No, well, maybe there'll be a couple, but not really about offices. We want to make that fan-facing.
Okay.
And so we're going to build some clubs down here. We're going to build some suites down here.
All right.
If things go our way, we'll have a restaurant down here as well. We'll have new visitor and home locker rooms. We'll have new areas for the concerts people to hang out with. This whole space will feel differently, and there'll be ways to get in the space without coming down the elevators as you do now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Randy Hahn said something about the broadcaster's sauna and steam room. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I do, and that's a figment of Randy's imagination.
Not true. So a lot on deck, right?
There are full-time massage people on staff now for the broadcaster, so. That's your new.
I thought that was players only.
No, that's an expansion of your responsibilities.
All right, I'll take it. I will need it pretty soon. Okay, so that's a good idea of what's going on with SAP Center this summer
and next summer.
And next summer.
Yeah.
What's that? What's been sitting over there the whole time?
Oh.
What is that?
These are actually the plans. Well, to be fair, this is a 100-page subset of the 600-page plans of what we are proposing to the city, which is not yet approved.
So I can't really even look through there. Like that, we're keeping that closed.
We are.
You just wanted to let people know that
it exists.
That work is being done.
Things go as planned.
Yeah.
We will unveil these in the next 90-ish days or so.
All right, sooner than later, love to hear it. The hottest selling item at the Sharks Pro Shop, or maybe items, we could do plural. What would they be? I was just down there the other day. I don't want to say what I bought for my family.
It's up there.
Oh, we're down below it.
That's right. It's up.
Forgot where I was for a second. You're right. It's on the street level. I'm just curious with the holidays coming around, and I'm sure the pro shop is doing well. What are people really interested in? What are the items?
Well, if you really want to know what the largest selling item, you won't be surprised when I tell you. It's Macklin Celebrini teal jerseys. They are 10x what our expectations.
Why would that be?
Whether that's not just a holiday phenomenon, that's been this entire season.
Yeah.
Since the holiday season sort of started,
yeah.
And there might be controversy there. In my household, it's after you finish and clean up after Thanksgiving, then you can sort of flip to the
holiday. I'm with that. You can't do Thanksgiving until Halloween's over.
Exactly.
And you can't do Christmas until Thanksgiving's over.
Fair
and
enough.
Yeah, don't even talk about New Year's until December, Boxing Day. I don't do boxing. A boxing day, we can start talking about New Year.
Fair enough. So anyway, so if you look at the last 3 or 4 weeks, what we've started doing is putting out t-shirts that fit with motifs that happen. So right now, We Want Tacos is one of the most popular t-shirts that are selling. we've been scoring 3 or more an awful lot of them in the game.
Yeah.
And
so, I've been scanning that QR code
exactly
a few times.
So anytime something unusual or noteworthy happens, we try to create some t-shirts of that, and those sell well. The other things that sold well is we've been doing a lot of street gear, hats and other things like that. That's been very popular, and we've been pinning it to neighborhoods in around San Jose.
Nice.
So the San Jose neighborhood has sold well also.
You know, on that note, by the way, with the tacos, we have such great sponsors here.
We really do.
I'm just going to say things that I am a customer of already, like Taco Bell, for example, like Fieldwork, our new friends at Fieldwork. They've got a new Toffoli Time beer. And I are about to go sample it, by the way.
You didn't bring me any for this interview.
There's 2 in the fridge outside. I've already told her one's for her, so.
Can I ask you a question?
See you Saturday.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I'm going to interview you back. Is it true that the beer is actually named after Cat and not after Tyler?
Well, 51% is Cat. Tyler's signature's on it, his number's on it, but if you really, the origin is like, let's go for the person with the real personality and, you know.
Fair enough.
Good for the community. Cat Toffoli. No, Tyler's great too. Last thing I wanted to get into, actually there's 2 more, there's a bonus, but the real last main thing is we talk about Macklin. We won't know until December 31st, the Team Canada roster officially. Not that we know anything now, but we're hopeful. And there are other Shark players who are probably going to represent their countries too.
Perhaps up to 5.
And it's a good return to back in the day, one of my first years of covering this team, we had 8.
Yeah.
Going back to the Thomas Grice, Douglas Murray, Joe Pavelski had 4 on Team Canada with Dan Boyle, Danny. I'm trying to impress
you. Pavelski wasn't on Team Canada.
Did I say that? Yes. I meant Team USA. No, then I said 4 more on Canada.
Oh, sorry.
Boyle, Heater, Jumbo, and Patty. I don't know if that adds up to 7.
Did you rehearse this before, though? This is a great memory.
No, I don't forget a thing from back in the day. But it's just like, to your point, if there's 5 Sharks as Olympians, now it's interesting because we're going to have the whole start and stop of the season for most of the team, and that's every team's going to have to deal with it. I love the trajectory of the Sharks right now. I'm interested to see how they come back. But also, what type of experience like a Macklin might have on a Team Canada roster and what good that can only do for him to be around all those other guys in that tournament. It just, when he comes back, it's just going to feel like he's learned something new. You know?
So ultimately, these aren't our decisions as the San Jose Sharks.
Spectators.
It's the NHL and then the others. But I personally think it's great for the players to go to World Juniors. I think it's great for them, Four Nations experience.
Right.
I think anytime you can do a best on best
and
have your best players play with best players from other teams and against other countries or other, I think that's good experience.
Yeah.
I do worry this season a little bit with the condensed schedule and the fact that we're on a roll, taking a 3-plus-week break. It'll be interesting to me, that first 4 or 5 games coming out of the break, which teams are on their heels because they've lost that sort of, and which teams lean into it. And I think that will be the most important 4 or 5 games of the season for a lot of teams.
I've loved working here for about a year now, but there's one thing I want to propose. When I walk into the building, there's a nice marquee. There's that big video screen off to the left of the south entrance. And even Sharky has a promotion up there for Book Sharky. Or, you know, like Sharky gets some screen time. I'd love to get some screen time up there. What do I have to do? Like, is there a wager we should have?
Do you have your checkbook?
It's simply that?
No.
You can deduct it out of the direct deposit.
What would you like
the
promotion to be?
Maybe we won't even solve anything right here, right now. But maybe we can just say that, like, next time we chat, let's have a wager. Let's have a something so that if...
Oh, I get it. So if you win...
Well, or if something happens or I don't know, or what could I... You know, what needs to happen to make that happen?
For those of you that listen to this segment...
You've watched almost 20 minutes worth.
This segment. Tag me and Brody on social as to what should be to get him up on the big board.
Okay, now that's not a good idea. It's going to be crazy stuff. Shave his head, grow his hair out
exactly.
Long, have, you know, Muck McDoolin take one-timers on me.
That's
like,
right.
It's just...
Fight
like,
Rebo?
Oh, jeez. No, thank you to all of that. But if it's a sensible one, but like
we'll
by the next time we chat, let's have a wager, and then by the end of the year, like, And it's just promoting the content. I want a QR code.
Oh, it's not about you.
It's about the content.
Oh, got it.
Like you scan the QR code and it goes to the Sharks YouTube channel or something. Okay. Yeah, I want to show people to watch. That's it.
Yeah, you could have just asked. I said yes, but now I like the contest idea.
This has been great. Thank you for having me in the president's office. Usually I'd be like nervous to be in here, but I mean, look, he makes it feel so easy. So thanks, Jonathan.
Appreciate it, brother.